Good morning, Church on the Rock. Needs y'all to gas me up. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning,
Amen. My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. If you're a first-time guest, we are so grateful for you to be here. Honestly, if you're a church member, if you're anybody, we are grateful for you to be here. It's been a tough week for us here at Church on the Rock. I want you guys to please just give a round of applause to God and to the worship team. I say that because two of the most drastic things that are going on right now have to do with two of our leaders up here at worship. One of our guitar players, Lewis, is fighting for his life right now. He's been fighting since Wednesday night. Josh, one of our actual, upfront leaders, spiritual leaders here, a pastor here at the church, he has an infection that they said is the fastest growing infection they've seen in the last 30 years. We have a youth pastor whose child was born Thursday, which is a blessing, but he's fighting his own battles to make it. One of the mothers in our church is fighting ovarian cancer, and doctors gave her news that just is unfortunate. It just keeps going. If I forgot anything, I'm sorry, but it just keeps going. Gabby's sister's in the hospital, and to hear the words of that song, to still be able to say it is well, to still be able to get up here and sing, because this isn't a church where you come and we don't know each other outside of Sunday. This is family. So it's not just church members that we're worried about. This is brothers and sisters. This is actual family that it hurts, Just being vulnerable with you guys real quick, just being transparent, I've spent more time at the hospital than my house. I spent more time in prayer than I've ever had in my life. And that's just the major things that are happening. There's still marriages that are fighting to stay married. There's still people who are still wanting to find out more about Christ and fighting for their relationship with Christ. It's been a tough, tough, tough week. And the words of that song, It Is Well, the author wrote that song while traveling across the waters that he lost his daughter in. So I'll never forget the importance of being able to say, it is well with my soul. God's will is always good, and he will be magnified in this. So I just kind of wanted to give everybody a little context of what's going on here at Church on the Rock. I'm just grateful to be alive today. I'm just grateful to wake up to be able to come in here and worship God. I'm just grateful to see all of you here for the same reasons. And just bear with us today, because we have heavy hearts, and we still want to make sure that we magnify God this morning. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's bow our heads for a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Father. We adore you. Even in the midst of the week, we have seen you work in miraculous ways. We have testimonies that have come from all these trials and these tests, and we know it's only you working, Father. We have people who are in the exact same hospital room that others were coming out of. I mean, the stories that we're hearing, we can only say that's a God thing. So, Father, we truly believe that you are here. We believe that you will use all of this for your glory. Father, I ask that you just remove me, Father. As my brother David said, Father, that I may just humble myself and know that it's all in your control. And know that you're the one that's going to be preaching this message. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that convicts the hearts. And Father, we just want your healing today. We just want your healing this morning. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we started a series called A Faith That Follows. We were looking at the church. We've been really pushing for people to get outside of their comfort zones and start spending time with each other. But what we found was everybody started spending time with each other, but it was all just friend-driven, and we were having some great fellowship, but very little discipleship going on. So I said, oh, whoa. We got to have something that drives the purpose that we're getting together, something that keeps us in line on why we're gathering. And we decided to start a sermon series called A Faith That Follows, looking at what discipleship really means. What it really meant to be a disciple in the New Testament times was completely different than what America's made it. Back then, a disciple was somebody who was sold out with trying to be exactly like their rabbi. So if Jesus is who we call our rabbi, then we should be sold out in trying to follow his example in self-denial and sacrificial decisions in his sovereign direction. Those were the points we looked at last week. We said it should be everything in us to be just like him, because that's what a disciple truly was. Today, we want to be just like him on Sunday morning, or we want to be just like him in different areas of our life, but not totally just like him. And you've seen, what you come to see is that discipleship or being a disciple today doesn't mean what it meant back when Jesus said, "Be my disciples." So we've been challenging ourselves to say, okay, how can we learn to die better, to deny better, to actually pick up our cross and follow him no matter what's going on, no matter the consequences, to actually be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we started this series called A Faith That Follows. Today we're going to be in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the main text will be verses 66 through 69. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69. We're going to read through the main text real quick. Corey, put that up for me. It says, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, 'You do not want to go away also, do you?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" Go back to 66 for me. So I got to give you context on this, because if I just read you a couple verses and start preaching, that's called eisegeting the text. I want to give you the context of how we got to this part of the text that we're in. So if you're taking notes, just follow with me here. We're going to track through this pretty quickly. It says right here, "As a result of this." So in Bible, like hermeneutics, if you want to know how to study the Bible better, when you see something like that, "as a result of this," it's referring to something before, right? It's kind of like when you see the word "therefore." When you see the word "therefore," you have to go back and see what it's there for. So when it says "as a result of this," we have to ask the question, as a result of what, right? As a result of what? And that's going to jump us back to John 6:59. You can just write these down, or I can put it online later so that you can catch this. But then we're going to see something else. In John 6:59, it says, "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." Excuse me. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?'" So if you're tracking with me here, you would want to circle "these things." You will want to circle "this" and "it." And then it says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?'" It's funny how that word "this" opens up this entire text, because you have to say, well, what is this? What is he talking about? What are these things that offended them? What are these things that they said was a difficult statement? What is this? And what you'll find in the context of this chapter is this is the portion of Scripture where Jesus was speaking about being the bread of life. Jesus was talking about being the bread of life. Now, this is a day after he just fed the 5,000. Just fed the 5,000 plus, actually. Here's my question. What is the best advertisement? What is the best way to advertise anything? Anybody know? Word of mouth? Okay. What's the next best way to advertise anything? Online? Anything else? Church on the Rock is Facebook, right? What?
Demonstration.
Anything else? Free food. I knew somebody would get it for me right there. That's my brother right there. Free food is the best advertisement outside of word of mouth. If you put anything up and tell people it's free food, and don't let it be like free Chick-fil-A or free Qdoba or free something like that, but if you put anything up and say free pizza, free food, free this, people come, right? People come. I mean, I used to have a Bible study that I would do at my workplace, and when I got the workplace to supply the free food, people came. They came, they would eat up all the food, and then they would listen for a hot second and say, I got to get back to work. But as soon as we stopped offering free food, it was like two or three people, right? Well, it's funny because in the context of this, the previous chapter, Jesus has just fed the 5,000, right? He's just gave them free food, honestly. This is where you get the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he blessed it, and he was able to feed the 5,000 plus the women and the children. And it was a miracle, yes, but it was free food. It was free food. So the next day when they found that Jesus was not there and he had crossed the Sea of Galilee, guess what they did? They cross the Sea of Galilee too because they want more of the free food, more of the miracles, more of the things that are filling their belly. So when Jesus starts to speak about how, hey, don't want for this free food that's just materialistic or this free food that fills your stomachs. Want for the free food that fills your souls. Well, then things start getting a little complicated. You see, we came for the free food. We came for the works and the miracles and the things on the outside. We ain't trying to hear everything you got to say about what's going on the inside. And then Jesus takes it a step further. He starts to give them the gospel. He says, and I love how he does it because he's doing it in his context, right? He just fed these people bread. So the illustration he uses is that he is the bread of life. In his context, they were saying, will you show us a miracle provided and it actually rained down in the morning? I always liken it to like Hawaiian rolls. You know, like, y'all know Hawaiian rolls, right? Like the sweet bread on Thanksgiving, the Hawaiian rolls, mama. I always think about like Hawaiian rolls were just falling, right? They're just falling out the sky, right? But they're like, show us a sign like this. Show us some Hawaiian rolls falling out the sky so that we may believe in you. And he responds and says, I am the bread. Now, that's crazy, right? He responds and says, the bread that comes out the sky, the bread that comes out of heaven, I am that bread. That's me. That like everything that you're wanting is right here. It's me. I am the bread of life. So these people have been following him. They've even called themselves disciples at some point because of the miracles he's done and the things he's done on the outside. But now he's starting to talk a little crazy. What do you mean you're carbs? What do you mean you're the bread? What do you mean you're the bread that comes out of heaven, that you're equivalent to the manna? Like help me out. And he goes further, right? I am the bread of life. If anybody eats of me, they will have eternal life. Whoa. Now we got to eat you? Like, hold on. First of all, you came out of heaven, and you're claiming that you came from heaven, and now you're claiming that we have to eat you. And obviously, he's using a metaphor here, but they're just kind of thinking to themselves, I don't know about all this. Like, it was cool when you was just giving us what we wanted. But now when you're telling us what we need, I'm not sure if I want to be a part of this. I'm not sure if this is where I want to be. In fact, you're starting to sound a little crazy to me because this is not what I expected. And it's crazy how we do that with free stuff, right? Like somebody could offer free coach tickets, and we're like, yeah, but where? Right? Right? Like free coach tickets, free coach tickets. Oh, yeah. Well, where would I be sitting? And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's free coach tickets. But that's how we are, right? We're like, yeah, but if it's nosebleed free coach tickets, then I just watch it at home. But it's free. But it's not what we want. It's not the expectations we have. It doesn't. And then it goes from that, oh, it's ground level seats. Okay, who they playing? The Browns. Sorry. They're playing the Browns. Let me know when you got a better game. Let me know when they playing somebody worth playing. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just going to pick on you a little bit. I'm sorry, Chelsea. But we start having all these expectations on something that's free. And in a similar sense, that's how it was. Like, when you're doing what we want you to do, we follow. But as soon as you start requiring something more, or as soon as it steps out of our expectations, I don't know anymore. I'm not sure anymore because it's not the way I envisioned it. You see, remember what we said last week, by the time you were 13, you memorized the Torah. By the time you were 14, 15, you knew the prophets and the Psalms. So this messianic, this Messiah that would have been on his way, that you would have been waiting for, you had expectations based on your interpretation. He's going to come and he's going to conquer Rome and we are going to be the greatest and all that. And now you're telling us that we just need to eat you and have eternal life? Like, that changes some things. That's not what I thought it meant. That's not my interpretation, but Jesus says this is the interpretation. I am the interpretation. I am the bread. I am the only way for eternal life. And that starts hurting people's pride, hurting people's feelings, because the gospel is offensive. And that is the gospel, that he is the bread of life. There is no other way to get to heaven. You can't eat wheat bread, white bread, miracle bread, Iron Kids bread, Wonder Bread. It don't matter. The only bread that matters is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. And unless you eat, consume, or take, or get in a relationship where you have him internally, you will not be saved. Well, that hurts because I put in that 13 years in the synagogue to learn all this meat, right? And even today, we got these people who are so puffed up in what they know about the Bible. They got their meat eaters. They're meat eaters. All they want to do is eat meat, meat, meat. It's like they're on a spiritual paleo diet. No carbs, no bread of life. All they want to do is eat the meat. And tell you about what you don't know in the Bible and about all this theology this and ology that, ology this. And then you talk about relationship and they can't give you nothing about it because they don't have a relationship with the bread of life. All they do is eat the meat. Well, it takes both. You see, we can't be spiritually on a no-carb diet. It don't work that way. It may work physically, but it don't work spiritually. You need the bread of life. So as we work that way up, in verse 59, go to 59 real quick again. It says, so those things that he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum, these were the things he was saying. I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. I am the only way. You must eat of me. You must partake of me. This is what he said in the synagogue. This is what he said to the people. And what was the result? Keep going. It says in verse 60, it says, therefore many of his disciples, his people, the ones who've been following him, the ones that have been getting the free food, the ones that have been getting all the benefits, many of his people, when they heard this, said, this teaching is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And difficult, now there's an argument here, because some people say difficult means that they literally didn't understand it. They're like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to eat Jesus. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't really, like, I don't get that, right? But if you look at the Greek word there, difficult is actually hard to accept, not hard to understand. It was a hard to accept statement. The same way that today I will tell somebody this morning that you need Jesus. I will tell somebody that you are on your way to hell outside of a relationship with Jesus so that you have his righteousness before God, not your own. And somebody will say, I just can't get with that. I just can't accept that the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. I just can't accept that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. I just can't accept. It's hard to accept. It was hard to accept then. It's hard to accept now. It says in the Bible that Jesus, the cornerstone, like we just sang, would be a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. That's the Bible. And nevertheless, here we are. His disciples are saying, when they heard the gospel, because we call it the bread of life. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we learn in school. I mean, in Sunday school and all those things. But it's basically the gospel, that he is the only way, that you must eat of him, that you must partake of him to be saved, to have eternal life. That's the gospel. The bread of life text is the gospel. He gave them the gospel, and the disciples responded saying, this is hard to accept. Who can listen to it, that this is the only way? Not everything I've learned over the 14, 15, 16 years I was in school. Not my paycheck, not my job status, not the way I look, not my house, not my car. The only thing that gets me to heaven is Jesus. That's hard to accept because I've worked so hard to build up my life. I went through so much to get to where I am in society. I've overcame so much to be where I am. I'm such a good person. I give so much. I do so much for the community. I give to all these charities, and you're telling me, even if I do all that, unless I have a relationship with Christ, I'm not saved? That's hard to accept. That's hard to accept. That don't make sense to me. So his disciples who've been walking with him, receiving his benefits, and this is disciples, the general word. This is not the 12. Keep going. It goes into 61, and it says, but Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled or was frustrated with this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? And that right there is why I would say the interpretation of this text is that it was hard to understand, because how can you be offended or stumble over something you don't understand? See, back in the day, somebody called me loquacious. I didn't know what it meant, so I wasn't offended. I looked it up, long-winded. I was like, I'm not long-winded. Oh, y'all laughing, though. Y'all offending me. Y'all causing me to stumble up here. But when they said, hey, bro, man, Pastor Taylor was talking to me. He's like, man, you're like me. You're loquacious. I was like, yeah, okay. Like, it sounded good because I was like, if I'm like you, I'm loquacious, cool. I looked it up a couple weeks later. I was like, I'm not long-winded. And then everybody confirms it here. They're like, man, if you're going to talk to Rashad, make sure you got 45 minutes and then some, because he ain't going to just give you an answer. He's going to open something up and say, hey, turn to this real quick and read. I just wanted to know what you're doing tonight, man. I didn't need, right? So I get it. So they were grumbling at a statement that was hard to accept. They understood what he meant. They understood he said he came down from heaven. They understood that he was the only way. That's what he was saying, but they didn't want to accept that teaching. They were even grumbling. Grumbling is like murmuring or like getting upset among you, like grumbling out. Like if I said something crazy in here, y'all would start looking at each other like, why he say hot sauce, all that, bag of potato chips, hot sauce and all that, whatever he said, why'd he say it? Like that's what you start grumbling and start mumbling to yourselves that something's wrong. That's what kind of like if you go back to Moses, when they start grumbling, the congregation start grumbling about, we're tired of manna. You're tired of bread falling out of heaven. You're tired of that, right? Like, man, Hawaiian rolls were falling out of heaven and you're grumbling. That doesn't make sense to me, right? But this is the type of grumbling that we're seeing right here. In the same way that he says, I'm the bread of life. Everything that you saw with the manna, you see in me. They're starting to grumble at this because this is starting to go against their traditions. This is starting to go against things that they thought they knew, their interpretations of the scripture. So they started grumbling. So that, all of that brings us to John 6:66. And in John 6:66, go to that scripture real quick for me, Corey. 66, go to 66 for me. Back to the top, main text. In 66, it says this. And as a result of that, everything I just gave you in context, as a result of Jesus preaching the gospel, as a result of Jesus saying he's the only way, as a result of Jesus saying I am the bread of life, as a result of Jesus saying you have to eat of me, many of his disciples withdrew and we're not walking with him anymore. My first point this morning is that a faith that follows will remain when others retreat. A faith that actually follows will remain when others retreat. You see, this is what we see in the church today. People will walk in here on a Sunday and feel the love and the joy. They see the love of Christ, see the life of Christ. They see the joy, and they are all in, and they are excited, and they are fired up until we start holding people accountable to becoming more like Christ, till we start teaching the hard-to-accept truths. And then they have all the reasons in the world to leave, and they'll blame it on anything else except for the fact that they don't want to accept the hard truths. People will come into church and Church on the Rock is great. They're so accepting, and they're so this, and they're so that. And then we'll say, okay, you got to stop having sex outside of marriage before you can serve in a capacity. Well, that's not fair. Well, that's the hard truth. They'll come in, and they're fired up, and they're excited, and they're this, and they're that. And I'll say, hey, I have no problem with the homosexual. I have a problem with the sin of homosexuality. And that's a hard truth. And they'll walk away, and they'll say, I'm no longer going to attend that church because they are insert whatever they want to put in there. And it goes on and on. I'll teach against this, but lying, adultery. I'll tell you that you got to stay in your marriage when you don't want to. I'm going to teach all these things that his word teaches, the truth, because that's all Jesus gave him was the truth. I'm the bread of life. I came from heaven. It's just truth. That's all it is. I'll teach truth. And when I start teaching truth, just like those other disciples, you start saying, well, that's hard to accept. And what happens? You walk away, never to return, because it's hard to accept. But a faith that follows will remain when others retreat. A true disciple is going to remain when others retreat. It's funny how in 66, go back to 66, Corey. It's funny how in 66 it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples. In other words, they had the outward title. Just like many of us in here have the outward title. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves followers. We call ourselves believers. But then that hard truth comes, and many of us would walk away. Many of us do walk away. Some may not be here this morning because they've walked away just from hard truth. And then they'll go and they'll label it whatever they want to. They're Bible thumpers. Oh, they're not forgiving. They're judgmental. But I look at Jesus. And Jesus, when they had a problem, he said, does this cause you to stumble? He didn't say, oh, my bad, let me compromise the message and sugarcoat it for you so that you stay, so that our numbers stay, and so that we have better giving and we can keep our pastor full time. No, that's not what he did. This is truth. I cannot compromise the truth. A, because I love you. If I compromise the truth, then I'm enabling you. And if I enable you, enablement is hate, not love. So if I love you, I'm going to speak out against sin. I'm also going to come alongside you and say, I'm still struggling too. Let's struggle together and remain when others want to retreat. It's not me standing up on some platform saying, I'm holy, roly, and got it all together, and you don't, and you need to look like me. No, I'm saying, when I look at Christ, the rabbi I'm trying to be like, I come up short. And I hate the sin that dwells in me, so I'm going to remain in his word, remain in his truth, and continue to follow. So then we look at 1 John 2, and I want you to see this. This is amazing. The same author of John the Gospel wrote this. But you, thank you. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. For this we know that it is the last hour. So keep going. He says, they went out from us, the Antichrist. Okay? Literally, Antichrist, just not against Christ. Okay? We're not talking about the big Antichrist. We're talking about Antichrist, just those who are against Christ. It says, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Do you see that? Do you see that? They left. Why? Because they were never us anyway. When it says that the disciples walked away, they were never really disciples anyway. They were disciples in word, right? The disciples in outward appearance, but they were not disciples on the inside because a faith that follows remains when others retreat. It remains when others retreat. So you got these fickle followers. They hear the gospel and they find a reason to leave. Y'all know those people, right? Like, you could take care. You invite somebody to something, and if they really don't want to go, I don't care if you take care of every problem they have, they won't be there, right? They'll be like, I can't make it because of my kids. We got babysitters. Well, you know what? I haven't ate yet. We're serving dinner. Well, you see, my bedtime is 9 o'clock. Well, we'll be done by 7:30. They don't want, they're not going to remain. They don't want to be there. They're not going to show up. So no matter what, they would find a reason. Now, check this out. And this may hurt, but that's what we do in the church. If you don't want to be here, you have all the reasons in the world. You can come in this morning and you can complain about whatever you want to and find a reason not to come back. That's what it is. You can say, well, I had to park in the grass. So, and we're like, okay, we're going to get that switched. We're going to get that changed. Well, you know, I walked in the door and too many people said hi. y'all laughing, but that's been a complaint at the church. It's like, everybody said hi to me. We're like, okay, I don't know what to do about that, right? Or the seats are green and their colors are blue. What's up with that? I'm just joking now. Like, I've never heard that one, okay? but if you want a reason not to be here, you don't have to look far because you can find it in anything you want. And you can do the same not just for the church, but you can do the same in your marriage. You can do the same in parenting. You can do the same in just being a Christian in general. Well, I would be a Christian, but. And it goes on and on and on. A faith that follows will remain when others retreat. Remain in what? Remain in anything that glorifies God when others retreat. You'll remain. You'll stick it out. Why? Well, that's going to be my next point. Let's go to verse 67. verse 67 there. It says, so Jesus said to the 12, he looked at the real disciples and said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Like, kind of sizing them up. Like, look, all the rest of them leaving. What about y'all? Y'all want to leave too? And Peter, the one who loves to just, he's always responding. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. A faith that follows, my next point, will rely when others reject. You see, right now, Church on the Rock, the family here has so many reasons, just looking at the context of what we're struggling with this week, to just walk away and say, you know what, this is getting too hard. This is getting too hard. Brothers is going down. This Jesus that maybe we had expectations that nobody will go through suffering if we are believers in Christ, and now half the church is suffering and we're all believers in Christ. Maybe it's time to give up on this Jesus thing. Maybe it's time to walk away. I don't know what's going to keep me holding on. Well, you know what? We got to be like Peter. Where else are we going to go? I mean, the way I see it, we suffering just like the people who don't believe in Christ is suffering. We just have something to rely on. That's the difference. So when Peter says, to whom else are we going to go to? He's like, what other rabbi are we going to follow up under? Matter of fact, let's just go back into what we said last week. If you go through the system that they had back then, it was the normal way of going about things was the disciple went to the rabbi and said, will you disciple me? And then the rabbi made a choice. Jesus chose them. So that means that they were not chosen by the other rabbis. Yo, Jesus, who else are we going to go to? The rest of the world has rejected us. Just like today, I'm sitting here right now saying, well, where else am I going to go? The rest of the world has rejected me. Some of y'all saw my Facebook post. There's people out there who warn people about coming to this church because of who I used to be. The rest of the church has the rest of the world has turned their back on me. Jesus, in the hardest times, where else am I going to go? You chose me when they rejected me. When they rejected me, you chose me and put me in a position to oversee. You entrusted me with these souls that are in these seats. They don't even trust me in their schools. So where else am I going to go? Just like Peter, where else am I going to run to? You, Father, you, Jesus, have the words of eternal life. And we rely on that. That's what we stand on, Church on the Rock, or as Phil says, the greatest rock. That's church on him. That's church on the statement that you made when you became a believer, that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's when Jesus said, it's on this statement, on this rock I will build my church. What? That Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So a faith that follows will rely on his words when others reject. When you're ready to reject what makes you different, what makes you a disciple versus these fickle Christians, is that you will rely on his word. It don't always make sense. It don't always make sense to us, but when I go back to his word, he said he will use all things for the good of those that love him. So guess what? I'm relying on that word. It doesn't look like it today, but that's what he said in his word. And since he said in his word, that seals it. I'm good to go. He said that if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. So guess what? I'm relying on that word. These are the words of eternal life. This is what he told me. So I'm relying on that when others reject it. Why? Because it's not what they thought it would be. I thought that when I accepted Christ, life would get better. Zach, when you got baptized, I don't know if you came up that water thinking, oh, it's going to be all good now, but I bet you've had an X on your back since, right? Soon as I went full time, I had some expectations. Oh, man, we about to play some video games, get a little bit more cardio in. Nah, that ain't been the case. Bill saw me at the hospital, was like, bro, I bet you didn't expect all this, did you? I should have, but I didn't. So why not quit, Rashad? Why not step down? Why not go back to the office where all you got to do is worry about walking in at 8, clocking out at 5, and getting back to your family? Because I'm relying on his word. Because I'm relying on him. See, I've seen other pastors reject in these moments and say, you know what, this is too much. But I'm relying on him. My wife is relying on him. When I have to be at the hospital overnight for 2 days in a row, she's like, you know what, but God has put us in this position for a reason. A lot of people have been coming up to me saying, you know what, isn't it weird that this happened now and not 6 weeks ago when you weren't available? So then that immediately makes me run to Esther 4:14, for such a time as this. For such a time as this, maybe this is why he made you full time, so you would be available for what he already saw coming weeks ago. It's not a coincidence that I just went full time to be available for these people. Because I can tell you right now, if I was working, there wouldn't be a sermon this morning. I promise you that. He's done this in his sovereignty. So I rely on him when others reject. What makes you a disciple is that you rely on the words of Jesus while others reject. In verse 63, go to 663 real quick. This is what Jesus said. He said, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven. That's 33, I'm sorry. But hey, that works too. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Now go to 663. Go to 663. He says, it is the spirit. This is Jesus talking. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So he said that before Peter responded. So when Peter responds in 67, he said, where else are we going to go? You just told us that the words you've spoken are spirit and life. What other rabbi is going to offer me that? Where else am I going to turn to that offers me that? Yes, I know you're suffering. Yes, I know you're going through things. Yes, I know everybody else has turned their back and went an opposite direction. All these Christians that were sitting next to you have went somewhere else as soon as times got tough. You rely on the word of Jesus Christ because the word of Jesus Christ is eternal life. What have I been doing at these hospitals? Pointing people back to Christ. What have I encouraged brothers and sisters with while they're on hospital beds or waiting in the waiting rooms for their family? Giving them the word of Jesus. In fact, Amanda Urbanczyk has been giving me the word of Jesus. So we rely when others reject. Finally, a faith that follows will receive when others resent. Go to those last verses there, Corey. 668 and then 69, I believe. Yeah, so Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And then he says, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Remember, this is what he said in the context that we build up to. He said that he was the Holy One of God, that he came down from heaven, that he is the bread of life. This is what they found hard to accept. This is what they started resenting him for. This is what actually ended up being pretty much what put him on the cross. The truth. The gospel. That he said he was from heaven, he was the bread of life, he was the only way of salvation, and it didn't add up to them, so they started to resent him. They started to walk away. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and everybody started to turn on him if they hadn't already turned. And that's honestly what led them to the cross. That's honestly what's going to lead you to your cross. When you stand and you receive the word that regardless of how hard the teaching gets, since Jesus said it in his word, that solves it, and I'm going to go ahead and live it out. Well, that's going to put you on your cross because people ain't going to want to be around you no more. People ain't going to want to hang out with you no more. Jesus said, I don't come to bring peace. I come to put and start inserting relationships, right? Why does it sound like that? Because if you are truly my disciple, if you truly want to be just like me, your loved ones are going to start hating you. Your loved ones are going to get annoyed with you. Turn their back on you. They will retreat where you remain. They will reject what you rely on. They will resent what you have received. That's how it works. And a real disciple responds like Peter. But the fake and fickle ones respond like all the ones that left and walked away. I'm telling you right now, we remain because we rely on what we have received. I'm looking at you all right now, and I'm thinking about the people who are in the hospital. One thing I've seen regardless of what it looks like today, on Sunday morning, you saw church on the rock this week. You saw hope that doesn't exist without Christ. You saw a peace that surpasses all understanding, surpasses all logic. Mama Lisa got some news and hopped on Facebook and said, the doctor said this, this, and that, they don't know my Jesus. Amen. And I'm saying the same things. Every time I get a report from Amanda or from Aaron or from anybody, I'm like, well, they don't know my Jesus. Because I hear you, and some of that logically may, I get what you're saying. I'm not, you know, taking away from what they do. As a matter of fact, we've been praying over their hands too. But until Jesus says it's time to go, it's not time to go. That's all I know. Like, he's the author of life, right? So when he says it's time to go, it's time to go. So I'm going to receive what he told me, because the only reason I believe that is because he said it to me. You see what I'm saying? I didn't make this up and say, oh, there's this guy named Jesus, and if he says it's time to go, then it's time to go, because that sounds good. No. His word that I rely on, his word that I remain in, his word that I receive says that he is the author of life. He is the author of death. He knows the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Everything that he has told me in his word, I receive when others resent. And to be honest with you, that is the only thing I've had to hold on to this week. That's it. And I can tell you right now, all the leaders who have been in contact with me, that's the only thing they've been able to hold on this week. So think about that outside of just this context of what's going on this week. Think about your marriages. How do we remain and rely on him and receive his word that marriage is God's institution, therefore he wants this thing to last. He wants this thing to work out. Think about luxuries. Maybe the coffee wasn't out this morning. Is that a reason to leave the church? Because guess what? Somebody will use that as a reason. Maybe I fumbled through my words, or maybe the sermon was too long or too short or whatever. You will find a reason to leave if you really don't feel called here by God, or if you just don't want to be here. And that's why when I look at Jesus, and when I look at how those disciples, those fake disciples who walked away, you don't see him chasing any of them, because they didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be there to begin with. And sometimes people look at me and say, hey, so-and-so left because they didn't like the way the presentation was put together. They think you should preach first and sing last, or they want more happening in the children's ministry. They go on and on. And I'm like, you know what? There's people who don't even have a children's ministry. There's people who don't even have a place to gather. They don't want to be here. I pray for them. If I see them, I love them. And you know what I do? I offer the truth. Just like Jesus, those who are his will remain. Those who are his will rely. Those who are his will receive it. So as we get ready to close out, this is what I want you to think about. Throughout this week, along with praying for us and everything that we're going through as a church, look at your individual lives and look to see where you are retreating, where you should be remaining in Christ. You can come up with a gazillion reasons on why not to be just like your rabbi. And I'm telling you, in those moments, remain like him. Don't let things take you out of your character of being like Christ, of what you're striving for. Get around those bases. That's what a disciple would do. That's what a real disciple would do. If anybody doesn't have that relationship this morning, if anybody's struggling on what it means to remain or what it means to even start that relationship, I ask that you immediately come see me. Come talk to me, or talk to Phil. Talk to Sean. Talk to Steve. Talk to any of the brothers in here that you see on a normal basis, and just be transparent like I was this morning. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. I'm going through a lot this week, but I remain a disciple. I remain with Christ. I rely on him, and I've received everything he said in his word, and therefore I've been able to persevere this week. There's so many different areas of our life that those same 3 points will keep you in the right place that you need to be in. But you got to want to be there. And you got to want to be there because he said that's where you're supposed to be. I thank you all for being here. I ask that as we get ready to sing these last this last song, Love Came Down, look at the words. Look at the words, whether you know them or not, and just read them and let them speak and minister to your soul. Because these are the type of words that you need to take in and rely on when things get tough. Amen? Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit us at our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.